Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and I think I have the sound dialed in. So my new setup, I bought a the things I do for you guys to make this a better podcast. So I bought a Windows laptop, which I do not like. The problems I've had with Windows already have been, so annoying. And I have this nice microphone, and I downloaded Audacity, and the last thing that was really getting to me, all the sound settings have been annoying as hell, but I think I pretty much have it dialed in. And the last thing is in the guest bedroom of my house where I record the episodes, there's still some echo. And so I've taken one of the extra pillows, like, you know, the comforter comes with these like two big pillows. So I took one of those big pillows, put it right behind the microphone. And I think that has solved my echo problem. So we'll see when I listen back to this on my proper earbuds. But for now, I think I got it dialed in. I think it's going to be okay. And dude, Audacity is a pretty nice program. All right. So anyway, all that nonsense out of the way. I've already blown a minute. This is ridiculous. First thing I have to get to is the concerned letter carriers are having a national Zoom meeting for all letter carriers about the tentative agreement, and specifically how to organize your branch and your office to get out the vote and vote no on the tentative agreement. So on the Zoom meeting, it's Sunday, November 24th, 2024, at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, and the other times in the middle, and they're going to talk about, you know, what they think about the tentative agreement, how you can get organized, things like that. So you're going to want to go to the CLC website, concernedlettercarriers.com, and register for the Zoom. And I will see you guys there. At least that is the plan. Again, that is Sunday, November 24th at 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern. All right, so with that out of the way, as you can tell by the episode title, this episode marks the end of Season 4. Season 4 has been all about holding our own union accountable, and that has been a bigger job than I really thought it was going to be. It was timely because of my issues within my own union, within my own branch, running for office, and all of that. And so I'm ready to move on. I've read the Constitution, I've read the bylaws, and there's not a whole lot more short of going into Department of Labor rules, and maybe I'll do that at some point. But, you know, the philosophy here is that the union makes a promise to its members about the way that it's going to treat them and about the way basically the way we're going to treat them. I was looking for a second part of that, but whatever. The way we treat each other is laid out in that Constitution, in that bylaws, in the bylaws, and we expect that the people we put in positions of trust are going to behave with the best interests of the union members at heart. And maybe some of the bad actions that I see are just differences of opinion. You know, maybe the people who are violating the bylaws and these rules in the Constitution, maybe they think they're doing the right things. But I've always taken the position as a steward that I don't have the contractual authority to violate the contract and to look the other way on the contract. And I don't have the moral authority to ignore the parts of the contract that I don't like. We collectively decided on this contract, and I'm just one person, and my job is to enforce that contract, and I'm not going to personally overrule the will of 300,000 other letter carriers, or of the 40,000 who decided to vote, or whatever it is, you know. I mean, we're going into that same situation now with our new contract, where this tentative agreement, we're all going to agree on this. And if we don't agree on it, it doesn't become the new contract. And I don't get to decide that just by myself. That's not my place. We decide that together. That's what it is to be in a union. And so these people who think that they're above these rules, to me, when you take on a union leadership position, that doesn't increase your power. That increases your responsibility. That increases the obligation you have to those around you to help and to do the right things. And that's why I ran for office. And that's why I will be rerunning for office, because we had our election results. I know I talked about those on a previous episode. And after the election results, both of the challenger slates of candidates submitted an appeal. And our appeal, Michael and Jonathan and I, we listed off the improprieties in the election, and I think it wound up being about 5 pages total. And then we said we want the whole election rerun all the way from the beginning, all the way back to nominations. And the election committee wound up accepting our proposal. The vote came out, I think, 5-1, and the one just wanted to redo things just from the voting. And so they unanimously said, yes, we got to throw out the results of this election, do it over again, and then 5 out of the 6, or maybe it was 6 out of the 7, whatever it was, we're going to go all the way back to the nominations. And so that's that. So the interesting thing about this is the way the appeals process works in the election rules is Michael and I, we had 5 days to get our appeal in, and it has to be sent in writing with your evidence by certified mail within 5 days. And it says it has to be sent within 5 days. It doesn't say it has to be received within 5 days. So we probably would have been okay, but Michael, probably the wiser of the two of us, decided we should send it in by express mail just to make sure that it got in on time. And then our appeal was accepted. So the election committee has made their decision, and they have submitted their decision to the interested parties and to the executive board of our local union. And then in the election rules, if anybody wants to challenge that decision, they also have 5 days to put in their objection in writing. And that appeal will go to the executive board, which is like the incumbents that we're running against, although some of them defected anyway. And nobody did it. Nobody put in that appeal within 5 days. It's now been, today's day 6 after the fact, and so it had to have come in by now, and it hasn't. And so that's it. It looks like the decision of the election board is going to stand, and we're going to rerun the whole election from the beginning. But you know, this is one of the messed up things about my branch, and I bet other branches are this way too. There is no mechanism by which we can disseminate this information to the branch as a whole. In the election rules, it says that any person who objects, any aggrieved member, or whatever it says, can object to this decision. But how would they know that it even happened? The only way we know is because somebody on the election committee told us personally, like, hey, this is the decision we came up with. But if I weren't in this position, I would just have to hear by the rumor mill, and that's messed up. That is not okay. There needs to be a mechanism in place by which this information gets spread out, you know, in a timely manner. Because in something like this, time is critical. And their decision was not announced. You know, the branch secretary made sure that he called people to let them know that the election was canceled the first time. But that's about the only time they really went out of their way to make sure people got the word. And so anyway, that's what's going on with our local branch election. So there have been some other developments with the improprieties as well. We now have reason to believe, and we have evidence in hand that appears to show that our local president was directly involved in some of the improprieties in our election. So this will remain to be proven, but the evidence that is in hand is pretty clear, at least as far as I can read it. And so it'll be interesting to see how that will play out. If I were a betting man, I would bet that there will wind up being charges filed against our local president, such as interfering with the election, misappropriation of branch funds, and other stuff. But, you know, it's all a process. It's all like, I have this tendency to go off half-cocked, and I'm certainly not going to do that in this situation. So what are we going to do? You know, I'm going to have to do an investigation. Like, this coming Friday is my scheduled day off, and I'm going to have to go out and try to gather evidence for this, for these improprieties. And that's what pisses me off, that I have to spend my time doing this shit. Because what a phenomenal waste of fucking time. You know, that's not what I want to do with my day off. I don't want to go chase down evidence of wrongdoing within my own union. But it has to be done, because what's the alternative? The alternative is just it goes unchecked, that, oh, you can go ahead and do these things, that, oh, who cares? We just let it slide. No, I can't do that. The fucking alternative is to be ethical and to do shit by the rules. It's not like I'm the only person who has access to these fucking rules. They are available. People just don't bother to read them. Or they read them and don't care. Who knows what the situation is this time? Because, well, so that's what I get to do with some of my spare time. It's, you know, it shouldn't be my job to know what our union leaders are supposed to do. It's their job. You know, and I'll give you a small example of it. I'm sure I've talked about it before in season 4, but like in our bylaws, it says that everybody in the branch should have a copy of the bylaws, and anybody who's a new hire should get a copy of the bylaws. But copies of our bylaws, as they are in current form, as they've been for some time now, don't even exist. When I contacted the branch secretary to get my hands on the bylaws, he didn't even have bylaws to send me. And so I know for a fact we're not giving them out to our new hires. And by the way the branch behaves, it seems like they don't even know what the bylaws are. And maybe that's part of the problem. But like, why do I have to do this? Why am I the one who has to bring this to people's attention? Like, if you're the secretary, isn't that your fucking job? Is to make sure that this stuff is all printed up and available and kept up to date. Dude, it's so frustrating. And this has been the focus of season 4 of what these people are supposed to be doing. And what, if I get elected, because we're going to go through that process again, what I am supposed to be doing. And you can be sure, because it's happened to me before, that when people say like, hey, you're not doing this right, you're supposed to do X, Y, and Z, and here's the rules, my answer is, oh shit, thank you. Oh, on that note, I need to correct an error in a previous episode where Michael and I talked about the tentative agreement, and we mentioned the 1.3% raises, and I thought they were cumulative. I've been corrected by multiple people. They are not cumulative. It's 1.3% of our salary now, 3 times in a row. And so even more, vote no. So anyway, that is now on record. It's out there. And I went back and I updated the podcast description to make sure that that is corrected. But, you know, again, with these rules, like I didn't think before I started doing all this shit, I didn't think I had to learn these rules. I thought, oh, well, the people in charge surely know the rules and they're doing the right things. And so like when my president fired me from the Carrier Academy, I didn't know that I had recourse. I didn't know that like any of those decisions, according to our bylaws, have to be run by the executive board and they have to, you know, have their say, and that I can appeal any decision to the branches. Well, I didn't know any of that stuff. If I would have known it, then my reaction to that would have been a lot different. Because if you go back and listen to like after that happened, that shut me down. And I was afraid to speak out because I didn't want to get fired as a union steward on top of it. And that fear comes from not knowing my rights and not knowing the rules. And in a way, that's what the whole podcast is about. You know, the rules are in place for a reason. People agreed to these rules for a reason. Our union has bylaws and a constitution to help keep people in check. And it's a way to help limit things like corruption and misappropriation and things like that. But they don't do us any good if we don't use them, if we don't know them and we don't use them. And the same goes for the rules in the M41. and in the M39. And all this stuff is designed to be empowering. And I get messages from you guys that it's working for you. And it's working for me too. And I feel more empowered when I deal with management. And knowing my rights and knowing what the contract actually says has been enormously helpful in not getting pushed around and not getting bullied. And I hope that it's that way for you as well. You know, one of the better emails that I've gotten recently came from the host of this fledgling new podcast called The Tallest Nail. It's the struggles of a CCA and what she's going through. And she writes really well. And it seems like she sings as well. I think she actually sings her own intro music. And it's really well-produced podcast. It certainly has production elements that I don't have. And so anyway, you know, hearing that what I'm doing is helping people is great. But I see, all right, you can hear my phone ringing. That is actually a CCA at my station. So I'm going to pause this real quick. And I'm back. And I do not remember where I left off. I think it was talking about that we have the rules in place to limit corruption, because that's what's here on my 10 sheet. But, you know, that conversation that I just had with this CCA at my station leads pretty nicely into what I am planning for season 5. Because as much as I try to offer this training, as much as I do the training at my own station, with daily stand-up talks, all of these things, there are still these basic parts of the job that I know we teach in the Carrier Academy that they just aren't retained and people forget and people slip up. And so for season 5, I'm going to be putting my skills on display and I'm going to show that I am a good Carrier Academy instructor, because for season 5, we are going back to school, baby. So I am going to actually go through the Carrier Academy with you guys, teach it the way I taught it in class. Some of the stuff, I'm going to have to figure out how to translate it to audio only. But the class is a lot of lecture. And so I promise you, because I taught it for many, many years, I keep it lively, I keep it interesting, I tell stories. And, you know, people in my classes did not fall asleep. But it will also be, you know, season 5 will be interspersed with other things that are going on, interviews, talking about the tentative agreement, whatever else is going on. You know, it's not just going to be episode after episode of that, but that is going to be the main focus of season 5. And then hopefully season 6, reread the contract again, this time with no accent and, you know, whatever the new language is in the contract. But we'll see when we get there. So that is what is going on. I hope you guys are as dissatisfied as I am with the status quo in our union. And I hope you guys are ready like I am to shake things up, to get new leadership in, to push back against the indifference that it feels like there is at the higher levels of this union. But for now, time to get back to education and, that's all I got for today, guys. Thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you all next time.